In the land of Nepal, it is very difficult to get a guarantee for mechanical or electrical products. The country where the thing is made will probably determine the nature of the guarantee. There are some countries that supply goods and the goods are not of very good quality, and so you don't get a guarantee for the particular item. Now, in our own land, the store where you purchase goods will oftentimes offer you an extended guarantee for a number of years, but it will all come at a price. Some companies will go as far, if their product is up to the mark, they'll go as far as giving you a lifetime guarantee on the product. Well, Matthew chapter 28 records the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And alongside this commission, Jesus Christ gives us a lifetime guarantee. And the lifetime guarantee is found there in the verse 20, the concluding part of that verse, when at the end of the commission, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And we want this morning for a few moments to think about the Lord's lifetime guarantee. And basically, it is the promise of his presence. And we want to build what we want to say this morning upon a builder cell, build the message around this lifetime guarantee. Now, the first thing we want to do with you is to consider the particulars or the details of this promise. We want to look at the particulars, the different things that the Lord Jesus Christ says about this promise, and it's important that we do. Now, I want you to observe the way the Lord Jesus introduces this promise to us. He uses that little word, "Lo." "Lo, I am with you always." Now, that word "lo" could equally be translated by the word "behold." "Behold, I am with you always." Now, whenever that word is used in the Bible, it's used in order to draw attention to a particular thing or a particular person. Remember when John the Baptist was preaching on the banks of Jordan, John 1:29, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And we could take you to many other places where that word is used in a similar way. So it's used to direct our attention to something that we want to think about in a very important way. Now, this particular word "behold," this word "lo" here, in actual fact, it is in the imperative mood. That means it is a command. In other words, Christ is commanding his disciples to look at the words that follow. He says, "Behold," and he's commanding his disciples to behold the words that he's going to speak. "Lo, I am with you always." Now, we must consider this because Christ is saying it. He's telling us by command to consider what he's saying. It's easy to pass over these words. We have read them hundreds of times. You could repeat them without the slightest problem whatsoever. And yet it's a command for us to give consideration to these words. And how vital that is for us. We will think here, of course, about the personality who presents this promise. Because Jesus Christ has said here, I am with you. It is Jesus Christ who is giving this promise. And we might think of this personality, this person. He is the resurrected one. He is the one who has just risen from the dead a short time previous to that. That's why it's important for us to link up the beginning of the chapter with this part of the chapter, because Jesus Christ has overcome death, hell. He has overcome sin for us. And in that resurrection, God was declaring to the world that it's Christ's work that is all important. It's that sacrifice that must be considered. And as the resurrected one, he is telling his people here to understand that he is with them as that one who is all powerful. But then not only is he a resurrected one, he is the one who is related to them in a very special way. You see, if you look there in verse 10, Jesus said unto these people that met him after the resurrection, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. Now that's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus is saying here. Oh, the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, no doubt about it. But the Lord Jesus Christ took into union with his divine nature, our human nature. And he is our brother. He is our elder brother. Go tell my brethren. He has this very special relationship with his people. How close he is. As our brother, you see, he enters into all our feelings, enters into all our troubles, enters into all our sorrows. He sympathizes with us. And as that sympathizing, understanding Christ, he says, I'm with you all the way. And no matter what avenue of service you engage in, you be sure of this, that Christ understands every trouble you will ever experience. He says, I am with you. Here's the personality of the promise. But then I want you to note the proximity of God in the promise. Because he says, lo, I am with you. It's always good to have a companion in the midst of trouble, to have that person close by. And here we have Christ saying, I am with you. That means he's beside us. He's close to us. This comes out again and again throughout the Word of God when the Lord comes alongside his people as they seek to serve him. Every person that will seek to serve God is guaranteed the presence of God and God with them so closely. We think of Moses. Exodus 3, God calls him. He promises to be with him in his ministry. Joshua 5, the Lord again promises to be with Joshua as he undertakes that conquering of Jericho. We think of Paul in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 18. He's in the city of Corinth, and Paul has promised that God would be with him. We could go through the Bible taking person after person on how the Lord says that he would be with them. How close is the Lord to us today? Simply because of that promise. He's with us. But then we have the tremendous proportions that are set out in this promise. Oh, we can just touch on these things. He says, lo, I am with you always. We might think of those words, the fact that Christ is with us all our days. That's the literal rendering of this. If you look at the original scripture, you would find, lo, I am with you all the days. All the days. Every day. You get up tomorrow morning. Monday's not a very good morning for people. They talk about Monday morning blues. They say, I wish Monday morning wouldn't come. They're looking for Friday afternoon. But you get up tomorrow morning, no matter how rotten you feel, all the days, Christ says, I'll be with you. All the day. We think of the diversities of the days that we experience. One day we can be up, the next day we can be down. One day we can rejoice, the next day we can be in sorrow. Christ says all the days. This is the promise, you see, no matter what you face. What a promise it is for God's people, even in the ordinary sphere of life. Leaving aside the fact, as we'll come and see in a moment or two, leaving aside the fact that these words are spoken very specifically to those that serve God and are laboring in his work. But God promises never to leave any of his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake, no matter what the circumstance. But not only do we have the diversity of the days here, but we have the duration. For he says, unto the end of the world. Right to the very end of your life, right to the end of this age, God says, I will be with you. So that's the particulars of the promise. Now, this is truly a wide-ranging promise as it stands by itself. But there's more here. And I want to come now to think very quickly about the program and the promise. Now, this promise is intimately related to the program which God has given his people to do. Now, it is true that God never leaves his people. Never leaves his people. But I want you to see that these words are directly related to those who carry out the work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That may be a missionary. That may be the minister of Christ. That may be the witnesser for Christ just in the ordinary course of life. And of course, every child of God then is included here. Not just for the missionary. Because every child of God has a responsibility to be reaching out to their friends, to their neighbors, or whatever. And so these words are applicable to every single believer in Christ. Now the program here is a twofold program. And the program first of all involves evangelism, because Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now that really means, if you have a good marginal Bible, it means make disciples of all nations. In other words, you have to evangelize. You have to go and reach those that are lost. That's what it's about. And that's the responsibility of every Christian. Every Christian in his or her own way is an evangelist. Is one who reaches out to those that they know. But this program not only involves evangelization, it also involves instruction. Instruction of those that have been, who have been evangelized. Now, verse 19 speaks about teaching all nations. And then in verse 20, the Lord says, teaching them to observe all things. Now that's a different word. That word teaching in verse 20 is a different word in the original from the word teach in verse 19. The word in verse 20 means to give instruction. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And there's always a need to teach those that have been converted, to instruct them in God's ways. It's not enough to see people saved. It's good when people are converted, of course. But it's not enough just to say, now you're converted, we'll push you in your little boat, away you go, you're on your own. No, no, no. They must be instructed in the Word of God. That's a vital part of the program. You know, Paul Thapa, in the land of Nepal, was very, very quick to see this particular need. He began his work, along with others, in March 2003. And in 3 years, approximately 3 years, there were some 20 churches formed in various parts of Nepal. And he started to get alarmed when he saw the growth of the church and the men that he had there to teach in these churches. They were made pastors, but he began to see that these men needed instruction themselves in order that they might be able to instruct their people. And in the providence of God, he came into contact with us personally, but then more importantly with our church as a whole. And we were able then to help him with this instruction of the pastors. And that's why the Bible College commenced back in 2010, to help these men in their understanding of God's word, that they might go forth. Now, this is an important part of every aspect of evangelism. We must instruct the people. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, remember John 21, he said, feed my lambs. He said, feed my sheep. And then again, feed my sheep. The Apostle Paul, he remained in Corinth, Acts 18, for 18 months. What was he doing there? He was instructing the people that had been converted in the Word of God. And you know, in these vital works of evangelism and instruction, we cannot be without the Lord. Cannot be without Him. That's why that promise is there. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we might just ask the question before we leave this point, how is Christ with us? How is Christ with us? Well, He is with us by his Holy Spirit, who is present in our hearts, who empowers us and gives us help in this vital work. I take you to John 14, and I but quote the words, John 14, 16, 17. And these words initially, primarily, were given to the disciples. This word was for the disciples who were going to be instructors of the people. And the Lord Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, which neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And the Lord promised the Holy Spirit to his apostles, but he has also promised us the Holy Spirit. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit residing within their life. That's a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And as you go about your life, dear believer, remember this, though you have God in your life, in the person of the Holy Ghost. Christ has promised that. He says, lo, I am with you always. Never a moment the Holy Spirit leaves the believer as you seek to serve him in this church, and maybe someone will seek to serve God in some other capacity in the future. The Lord is with you in the form, in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing. But then not only that, Christ is with us whenever the Holy Spirit empowers us for service, because he says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Child of God, you're not on your own. You have the potential to do great things for God, because you have the Holy Ghost. He can come with power to your heart. But then John 14:26 again, words spoken to the apostle, but are applicable to us. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So we have the Holy Ghost dwelling. We have the Holy Ghost giving us power. We have the Holy Ghost teaching us all things. And it's all related, remember, to those words, lo, I am with you always. That's what you have today. But then I want you to see this promise is related to the people to whom it's spoken. That's obvious. Christ was not speaking into thin air. Christ was speaking to certain people here. He had certain individuals in mind, and they were before him. In verse 16, I want you to look at it just very carefully. It says there that the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and they worshipped him, in verse 17, and then Jesus came and spake unto them. The Lord Jesus is addressing 11 men on this occasion. What can we say of these men? Well, they are chosen of Christ to salvation. That's the first thing. How do I know? Well, John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus said this, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Some people don't like maths. Well, here's a very simple sum for you. 12 minus 1 equals 11. So it's very clear to me that these 11 were chosen and saved by Christ. That's who Christ is speaking to here. These 11. And, of course, this a promise then is applicable to you. If you have been chosen, if you have been saved by the grace of God, you can say, well, this word is for me. So he's addressing the 11. But in these verses I want you to see, we see a sort of a paradox, which is often found in our own hearts. Now, it says the 11 disciples, they're here, Christ is addressing them. But these men were a bit of a contradiction, just like the way we can be ourselves. Because, first of all, they were faithful, no doubt about that. It says, verse 16, they went away into Galilee. Now, why are they in Galilee? Well, verse 10 tells us Be not afraid, Jesus said, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. So they're there because Christ has commanded them to be there. They're faithful men. They have responded to the command of Christ. They're faithful men, no doubt about it. They're seeking to obey the commands of Christ. But while they're faithful, some of them are faithless. Because verse 17, it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Here were men, and some of them were actually doubting as they stood in the presence of Christ. And yet the Lord said to them, lo, I am with you always. He was speaking to doubting disciples on this occasion. How many times, and I ask myself this question because I'm as guilty as anyone, how many times have we been on the mountain of faith and then plunged right into the valley of doubt? And the fact is, you see, God bears with us. Is that not true? How God puts up with us and tolerates us on occasions. You see, the bruised reed he does not break, the smoking flax he does not quench. We think of Jonah, he runs away from his commission. He's trying to get away from going to Nineveh. And down in the belly of that whale, God begins to deal with him. And he says, I will look again. You know, we can look again. Aye, and again, and again. For God is a merciful God. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're feeling your failure in some area. Well, child of God, Christ comes to you this morning afresh and says, I am with you. With you. Here's the people that Christ was speaking to. But before I leave this matter, I want you to note, and I've already indicated, there was one missing from this group of original 12. When you read that word 11, then the 11 disciples, remember there was one missing from that group. Oh, how much better would it have been, you would have said, if there had been 12 at this point in time. And what a solemn warning that is to us all. Because maybe you are here this morning and you're sitting with the 11, but you're not part of the 11, really. You're not even converted to God. Christ is not with you. These words cannot be spoken to you. You cannot apply this verse to you. You cannot say, oh, Christ is with me, for he's not. He's against you. If you're not converted, what a great thing it would be this very day if by faith, through faith, you would come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But then I want in the final place this morning to think about the power of Christ and this promise. And for this we must link up the previous verses, and we'll see how each verse, the one is linked to the other, the one follows on from the other. And I bring you to verse 18, and it's a wonderful verse, this. The more I think of it, the more I meditate on this verse, it really does put iron into your soul. Now, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now notice that the words of verse 19, follow on from this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then these words come, all linked up together. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I want you to see here that the power of Christ here is associated with him being with us. Don't divorce it. Can't do that. The power of Christ here is linked up to him being with us. Every time. Now the power that's spoken of here in verse 18 is a power that has been given to Christ as a result of his dying on the cross at Calvary and his victory that was gained there. The power here is the reward to Christ for his victory at Calvary. I want you to see that. Notice the words in verse 19. All power is given. Given. Christ is the Son of God. As the second person of the Trinity, had power in himself as the second person of the Godhead. But this power is given to Christ here. This is the power that's been given to Christ as our mediator. Remember the words of Philippians chapter 2. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, speaking of the Lord Jesus. It says he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Just stop there now. We've been thinking in the verses here of the fact that Jesus went into tremendous humiliation, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Wherefore God hath given him a name that is above every name. He has exalted him. That was his reward for his victory at the cross. Now this is the power granted to the Lord Jesus as our mediator, as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king. And because of our union with Christ, all that Christ has, all the power he has, becomes ours. Now when it says in verse 20, Christ is with us unto the end of the world, it means that all he is becomes ours. You're no pauper child of God. Whenever you go out tomorrow morning, you have Christ with you. You have all that he is at your disposal. He is our prophet who speaks through us. He is our priest who prays for us and guarantees us the blessing. He is our king who conquers all his and our enemies. And the promise of Christ's presence, you see, is something that's real and effective in the promotion of his cause in this world. This is a missionary meeting. I have tried to show you that you are the missionary, as it were, in your local area. And all this power that Christ has is yours. He has promised it to you. Lo, I am with you all, even unto the end of the world. Now, this power of Christ means that we as believers in Christ have the power and the right to take the gospel anywhere in this world. No one, let him be the highest political person in any country, no one has the right to tell me not to preach the gospel. For Christ has told me all power has been given unto him. He says, I am with you always. The power here is in the original Greek language means authority, means the right, means we have the liberty. Now this is becoming increasingly appropriate for ourselves in this land. You're all aware of the case that took place this week. We do not agree with many of the things that James McConnell would preach. By no means. We couldn't dot every I or stroke every T of the things that he might say, of the doctrines that he would hold. But on the things that he said we could not disagree with, he was taken to court. Of course, the court cleared him of all charges, and that was a good thing that that happened. There is increasing pressure in our society to stop preachers declaring the word of God. And it will come eventually right down to the ordinary person where they'll not be able to say things if things go the way they're going. In our society, many had become so sensitive to the exclusive claims of the gospel that we preach, and they don't like it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that stands and stands forever. And someone might say to you, I don't want you to preach the gospel. Well, you have a greater power behind you. For Jesus said, go ye and preach, for all power is given unto me. We ought to obey God rather than men. Go ye. And we have this wonderful promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It may be that someone here this morning is feeling the call of God in some way, in some direction, to serve him. And I hope that is the case. There are multitudes of people throughout this world who have never heard the gospel. You know, I think of this island of ours. There are 26 counties in the Republic. And at this moment in time, there are three of those counties that have a free Presbyterian witness: Monaghan, Donegal, and Athlone. While it's not officially a free Presbyterian church as such, there's a free Presbyterian witness there. Our men are ministering there month after month. Three counties. What about the 23 that are not touched? And that's just a small island, a dot, you might say, on the map, the overall picture of this world. What about the vast areas of this world? And there are young people here. I would give anything, and I've said this many times, I would give anything to have what you have. Youth. I would love to divide myself up into 1,000 pieces and go to 1,000 places. I can't do that. But there are young people here, and maybe God's putting his hand on you. We think of those challenges. With this we're through. The challenge of Isaiah the prophet. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah responded, here am I, Lord. Send me. And whenever Isaiah responded in that way, Isaiah 6 and 9, God said, go. Read it for yourself. Go. Or will you not go today? And if you do, he says, lo, I am with you. Oh, I wouldn't change places. I wouldn't change places for anyone in this world for what the Lord has done for me. I know that he has been with me, will be with me to the end. Will you go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen.